Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss fox hunting, proposed badger call, and any number of other topics with today's guest, Queen guitarist Brian May. Meanwhile, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Miles Davis with his version of Bye Bye Blackbird here on Talking Animals. This is Miles Davis with his version of Bye Bye Blackbird, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Queen guitarist Brian May, who launched his own animal protection campaign called Save Me, after the Queen song, and has been quite active and quite vocal about a number of animal issues in the UK. We'll find out more about his work through Save Me and otherwise, including a special award he recently received for his efforts on behalf of animals, when Brian May joins us in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Right now, though, time for animal news item and or announcement. In this case, we want to tell you about the Fall Pet Adoption Expo coming up November 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Florida State Fairgrounds. There'll be over 40 rescue groups with hundreds of adoptable pets, products, etc. Can't talk about the prices of things, but let's just say admission could be incredibly reasonable with any pet food donation. And parking already will be incredibly reasonable, given some sponsors it looks like they have. There'll also be a Veterans Week special, Pets for Vets, and more. For information, you can go to humanesocietytampa.org or hillsboroughcounty.org/animal services. That's the Fall Pet Adoption Expo, November 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Florida State Fairgrounds. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Paul F. Tompkins with Alternative Pets on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
People have their alternative pets on their person. It's people walking around with animals on their body. See a guy who's got an iguana hanging out up there on his shoulder? See another person with a crazy cockatiel just hanging out? And I guess you're supposed to have some reaction to these people. You know, I guess what they want you to say is something like, well, pardon me, sir. Is that a bird on your shoulder? Well, you must be one fascinating individual. Your personality is not at all manufactured. I say, what if we were to exchange addresses and became pen pals? That way I could collect your letters in a bound volume entitled My Correspondence with the Most Interesting Person Alive. Working hard for you. That's great. You can have any animal that you want, you know, because we have dominion over the beasts of the fields and all, you know, but here's the thing. Even animals need some alone time, okay? How about that, you know? Maybe the lizard would like to sit at home, play on the rock for a while, you know? Maybe the bird would like to play with the bell, look in the mirror for a little bit. Maybe they don't have to come with you on all your jackass errands. How about that? Leave them alone for a minute. Come on, Cecil, we're going down to the bank so everybody can see your crazy eyes. Woo!
All right, that's Paul F. Tompkins with Alternative Pets, taken from a Comedy Central appearance. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. Like us already, will you? And our Twitter page. Please follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Brian May. So let me outline a few things about him. As I mentioned earlier, he launched his own animal protection campaign called Save Me, after the Queen song, of course, and has been quite active and quite vocal about a number of animal issues in the UK, including vigorously opposing fox hunting and a proposed cull of badgers currently under consideration. Just 2 weeks ago, he received a prestigious Animal Action Award in recognition of his work on behalf of animals from the International Fund for Animal Welfare. He's also been recognized as a Commander of the Order of the British Empire, CBE, from that other Queen, and holds a PhD in astrophysics. He's also been known to play some guitar now and then. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Brian May to Talking Animals. Brian, hello.
Hello, Duncan. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. It's a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Thank you for that glowing introduction.
Well, it's we could have gone on and on even if we might have already done so. But there's just so a number of issues that you're passionate about that I'd like to delve into, and I hope we will momentarily. But first, maybe we could just talk a little bit about your path into animal advocacy. It feels to me rather recent, but maybe it's more of a long-standing interest, and I just may have not been paying as close attention to that.
It's long-standing, but I haven't been as active as I am now until the last couple of years. I always felt very strongly about animals. I mean, you can tell it in some of the songs. But I always promised myself that if I had the opportunity a little later in life, I would spend some of my life trying to improve the lot of animals and trying to change things so that we treat them with respect. So the time came, basically. I've achieved a lot of my dreams. I've been very lucky in my life, and I just thought it's time to do that. And it started off with hedgehogs. I don't know if you have hedgehogs over there, but little small prickly animals over here.
Sure.
And you have those too?
Well, no, but we love hedgehogs, certainly, yes.
Yeah, well, I became involved in a campaign to try and save them from being eradicated in an island because they were accused of stealing birds' eggs. And we persuaded these people to rehouse them instead and release them on the mainland. And it was a great victory. And I think I was kind of spoiled by it. And I thought, okay, I can do this. You know, I can really make a difference out there. So then I got into other issues of wild animals, which really have always been close to my heart, particularly the foxes and particularly the badgers. And, of course, it ain't so easy. It really is not easy because you're up against people who really have a vested interest in keeping things the way they are.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's been tough. But I'm in there. I can't really do a U-turn now. It's something I do feel very passionately about. And we are making a difference.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because some of the things as I sort of prepared to speak with you today, in some of the interviews in print and TV and radio and stuff, at one point or another, you sounded like, hey, you know, I'm going to give this. I've got some time. I might give this a year. But as you kind of alluded to, you seem pretty deep in. I doubt that you're going to reach any end of any sort of calendar period and say, okay, well, I've taken my best shot. Now I'm going to, move on to another passion.
No, I think I'm in for the duration now. Yeah. It's funny, you get a lot of pressure. A lot of people would like me to give up.
Sure.
You know, they work on you so you get tired and dispirited and depressed. And I have got a little depressed at times, but there's something which drives you on, I think. The more you get knocked, the more you realize that this is something that really needs to be fought for.
Yeah. Well, you're clearly getting to people and getting, sort of at some issues and under some skin. Because, again, and sort of preparing for some of this, I was really struck by some of the, just debates that you had on TV and radio where everybody was at least mildly civil. But some other, like, blogs and some other things where it's like, holy cow. Out, man, you have really, you don't see that kind of vehemence without people really feeling threatened in their positions.
That's right. It took a bit of adjusting to, because I've been a musician all my life, and it's a fairly gentle world. You know, people can say that you're crap. They don't like your music, which can upset you, but that's about the worst they can say. But in this world, I've got a lot of pretty serious abuse. And some of it's very subtle. You know, I mean, they can work on you in mysterious ways and really discredit you, really on your toes. And you have to be very resilient. I think I've adapted. I'm not, it doesn't affect me as deeply as it used to, but it still affects me. You know, I get up in the morning wondering where the next bullet is going to come from. from, in a sense, especially if I've just made an announcement, if I've just been on TV or whatever, you know, there's going to be a big backlash every time.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit more. For example, in working against fox hunting, I mean, you're obviously working against, you know, deeply ingrained tradition. And,
yes.
I mean, obviously you recognized that when you began, but did that sort of alter the sort of campaign or strategy that you chose to either participate in or devise, knowing that, you know, you'd be facing kind of a blast furnace of intensity on the other side?
Well, I'm learning all the time. I expected some of it, but I didn't realize the full scope of it. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Tradition is very much what's behind it. And I think tradition can be a very evil thing, in a sense. I mean, tradition can be an excuse for all kinds of vile practices, which really ought to be thrown out. And I see it in so many areas, you know. And it's difficult. I feel it in myself, even. You know, there's certain. I remember I was brought up from. You know, my dad used to take me down the seafront, and we would eat prawns on the seafront, and that was like one of the most memorable experiences of my youth. It was like a bonding experience with my dad.
Sure.
And it was much later, you know, people were saying to me, well, you're supposed to be a vegetarian, why are you eating prawns? And I took a real good look at myself, and I thought, well, it's ingrained, it's in there, something is telling me that that's okay, even though these creatures are boiled alive.
Yeah.
And I'm eating them, that's okay. So why am I thinking that's okay? So it's a long road for everybody, and I'm dealing with people who had that bonding experience with their dads, going out and killing a fox and having the blood smeared all over their face. And it's horrific, and I think everybody in their right mind would call that barbaric.
Yeah.
But it's tradition, and tradition is involved in keeping people in those mindsets, and that's what we have to break. We have to make people realize that animals are animals too. You know, we're animals, they're animals, and we all, certainly the mammal world feels pretty much the same about things. We all feel pleasure. We all feel pain.
Right.
We all want to rear our children. And, you know, to me, the world has gone seriously, seriously wrong in the way we treat other creatures on this planet, in farming, in animal experimentation, and in the way that we treat our wild animals.
Well, that's the thing, and you sort of, I think, touched on a couple of really key points that intersect when it's something like fox hunting, for example, because you've got these deeply ingrained traditions and what people grew up doing, but you've also got the thing that you acknowledge about the shrimp example, which is that for a lot of people, as they are made aware of things or have a reason to think about things, they can, if they choose to, travel a continuum. So,
exactly.
You know,
I think it is definitely a continuum. Yeah, people travel along that line, and I haven't got all the way yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at milk and cheese and stuff now, because I know, having been in this for a while now, I know that there's pretty much as much cruelty involved in the production of milk as there is in producing meat. In fact, possibly more so.
Sure.
So now I'm asking myself, okay, why do I want milk in my cornflakes? Why do I think that's so important?
Right.
You know, it's a line you travel along.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's some people who I greatly admire who find out some of these things, and tomorrow they're gone completely vegan, and that's great. But I think for a lot of us, it is more about steps and traveling that continuum. And to me, any steps you make in that way is better than what it was yesterday. So
absolutely, absolutely. It's all a gradual change of consciousness, and I think we need it. It's partly selfish, too. You know, we need to do this for our own physical and mental health as well. You know, it is not healthy to be eating animals, especially animals that have been farmed brutally and pumped full of all sorts of hormones and antibiotics and whatever. You know, we're doing ourselves immense amounts of harm by eating meat.
Absolutely.
And it should change, just for our own good, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, just our last guest out here on Talking Animals was Dr. Neil Barnard, whose work you may or may not be familiar with, but he's written any number.
Name, yeah.
Yeah, so he can speak to that from a you know, an MD standpoint and done a lot of research. But let me let people know in the meantime, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with the Queen guitarist Brian May. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So Brian, I mean, I think a lot of people would, you know, whatever their familiarity with Britain would certainly be aware that fox hunting is an issue, and sometimes it's more or less an issue depending on what who's in office and what kind of legislation is going on. But here's something that I think is less obvious that I found fascinating. My wife came back from Canada several weeks ago with a copy of Maclean's magazine. They carried a small but really well-reported and just smartly written article about this proposed badger cull and the issues and viewpoints swirling around. And I just thought it was so interesting, partly because it seems highly specific to Britain in some ways, yet universal in the way that it seemed to pit factions against each other and identifying, you know, how to solve a problem, all the you know, sort of wild and domestic animal issues, and, of course, the economic repercussions. So maybe you wouldn't mind sort of outlining just some of the basics of that for the audience that may not be familiar with that, and then sort of take us up to date, at least at the moment, on what seems a huge controversy.
Yeah, you're right. It is something which is global. I didn't realize that until recently. Yes, it crops up in various forms in various countries. The thing is, I guess, it all starts with farming animals. In the beginning, can you still hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
I had a thing on the line. Yeah, it starts off, as far as I can see, historically, once instead of chasing animals around and just and killing them where you find them and eating them, instead of this, you're farming them. So you're sectioning off parts of the land to actually rear these animals, and then you're in a sense in conflict with the wildlife around. The wildlife is a nuisance, and you know, it's been said over here the only thing that most farmers want to move on their land is a tractor. You know, so there is, again, we're up against traditional views. You know, people look at the badger, and what has been said is that the badger spreads bovine TB. Now, it's a long discussion, but basically the bovine TB came with the cows. That's what happened. When we started importing cows to rear them, bovine TB came along with them, and the wild badger population got infected, and now they are what's called a vector. They can spread it, but they're not the principal means of spreading it. Really, the cow-to-cow transmission is the main thing. So now we have a... Are you still hearing me?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Now we have a government, we have a new government, which is very much farming-dominated. And they've all decided to get rid of all the trials of vaccination that were going on under the last government, and they want to kill the badgers, basically.
Yeah.
And all the scientific evidence that's been amassed says that this is not going to work. Not only that it's cruel and immoral and all that stuff, but also that it is no way going to work. And
yeah,
you can prove this quite easily. But nevertheless, the government wants to do it. They've launched a consultation on their website, the DEFRA website. They're called the Department of the Environment, Farming and Rural Affairs. But unfortunately, it's all about farming at the moment,
mm-hmm,
with this government that we have.
Yeah.
So we have a hell of a fight on our hands to just say, look at the science, understand what's going on. Even if you don't understand what cruelty is, and immorality, look at the science and realize that this is not going to work. This is our job, to make people realize.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems incredibly complicated, and again, you know, a lot of people as I was studying up on this really, you know, are getting quite upset that you've stepped up.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess it should be said in some way that I'm sure part of why people are upset, I probably would be if I was somehow, you know, squaring off against you on an issue like this, is that
mm-hmm,
you're not just another rock and roll guy. I mean, you have a PhD. You can't just be easily dismissed as like, oh, what does he know? I mean, because you're steeped in science and research. So,
that's what I can bring to it. Yeah, I mean, I get accused of being an ignorant townie. You know, you don't understand. You don't live in the country. Well, in fact, I do live in the country about half the time. You know,
yeah.
I have a foot in both camps and things. But yes, mm-hmm, what I can bring to it is that I do understand the science. I can read a scientific paper and find the flaws in it. And that kind of gets under people's skin, as you say. You know, they go,
yeah,
what's he doing here?
Well, sure.
I'm here because I care. I have no other agenda except that I don't want animals to be abused. That's
sure,
the only thing I'm here for.
Well, with that in mind, Brian, we've got some people on the line. The lights are flashing insistently because I think they're so eager to speak with you. So let's take a few of those calls. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Brian May. A question for Brian?
Yes, am I on the air?
Yes, you are. A question for Brian.
Hey, Duncan, this is Joe Capozzi from West Palm Beach, Florida. How are you?
Good, Joe. Thanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm in rainy old England. I'm in the car, actually.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I just wanted to thank you for being a part of my life, you and the band. And I grew up listening to Queen, and that kind of leads to my question. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Okay, I saw you there for the game tour. I went to your concert with
with
the
fantastic
band.
Great. Oh, it's good to hear from you, John. Yeah.
But I grew up in a big house, and we had four cats, two dogs. And I'm just curious, you know, you growing up, number one, did you have animals, pets in your house?
Yeah, we always had pets. Yeah, we normally had cats. Yeah, love cats.
You're a cat person, huh? Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
And just curious if John and Freddie and Roger, maybe they had pets too that you remember, if there was a dog that they would bring along to the studio, I don't know.
No, we didn't have dogs in the studio, but I have a feeling they all had animals. Yeah, I think so at the time.
Well,
yeah.
Well, also, it seems odd that I'm chiming in here, but if I'm not mistaken, Freddie was a complete cat nut.
Well, Freddie, absolutely.
Yeah.
Freddie had, I think, nine cats.
Yeah.
Just before he died. Yeah, Freddie was absolutely so into animals. Yeah, the others, I'm not so sure. I mean, yeah, now I'm thinking about this. I know Roger does have cats. Yeah, they're more like outdoor cats, though. He doesn't really pay that much attention, because Roger's more of an outdoor person, if you know what I'm like, if I'm talking about, you know.
Sure.
But normally, yeah, Freddie had the cats that were in his house, and they completely dominated his house.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, and I remember the way he, you know, unfortunately when he was very ill, the way he made sure that they were totally looked after in all kinds of ways,
yeah.
And yeah, it was
quite
remarkable. So, Joe, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Duncan. Thanks, Brian.
All right, take
care. Thank you, Joe.
Bye. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Brian May.
Yeah, is that me?
Yeah, it sure is. A quick question for Brian, please.
Well, I'm going to get out of the bank line now.
Okay. All right. The beauty of cell phones. Yep.
Yeah, I'll just pull through when the car in front of me gets out. Let's see. I've done the vegetarian thing for a while, but I've kind of fallen off the wagon over the past couple of years with a family that's not vegetarian. But my sister's a vegan. She recently moved out to the Bay Area of California. And there's a large community out there that you know, animal rights community and so forth.
I'm also a guitarist. It's a growing community, yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Have you spent some time out there?
I know some people out there, as a matter of fact. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that's good.
But she's heavy into that scene. But I also wanted to mention how much I enjoy Queen and was recently listening to a Greatest Hits on my iPod and was wondering if there's any... is there a future music coming from your band? I've always liked the musicality. I'm a musician, have been for 30 years, and and really just appreciate what set, I think, Queen apart from a lot of the same band, not the same bands, but the bands that were popular in the same era, was the level of musicianship and just the thought that went into the songwriting was amazing. And
thank you very much. I appreciate that. We've just signed a new record deal, strangely enough, for a band that's kind of been dead for 20 years or whatever. You know, we've signed a new record deal with Island Records, and we're remastering everything, which will be out starting around Christmas time. But I'm very active at the moment. I've just produced an album for a lady called Kerry Ellis, which I've done very much, I suppose, what you would say in the Queen style, except it's a lot more orchestral, but it's very big and very rock. So if you want to hear what I'm doing, find the Kerry Ellis Anthems album on iTunes. But as you've heard, animals have taken over more of my life these days as well.
Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. We're gonna move along. But yeah, Kerry Ellis, boy, talk about some huge pipes. She is quite a singer. All right, let's take one more call and then maybe we'll get back to some of my questions. Okay, you're on Talking Animals with Brian May. Hello.
Hi, this is Charmaine calling from Sarasota, Florida.
Hi, do you have a question for Brian or a comment?
I sure do. Brian,
okay.
I just want to tell you how much I admire what you're doing. I've been an animal rights activist for a very long time, and I know, as you say, it can get depressing and a little bit overwhelming when people don't get it.
What I wondered
about here in the United States, what I run into a lot is people who don't understand that animal rights aren't one-dimensional, that if you care about animals, you probably very well do care about children, the environment, and everything else. It's all one big part of the puzzle. I wonder if you run into that in England, where people are like, oh, you should be raising money for this other cause. And also, before I hang up, I'd very much appreciate it if before you go off the air today, you would give an email address where other people who are heavily involved in like causes could get in touch with you. And one last thought. One of our most revered artists here, one of our best authors who you'd probably love, John D. McDonald from Sarasota, in an interview with Playboy magazine, referred to hunting as the eternal search for balls. And I couldn't agree with him more. And with that, I'll hang up and listen to your responses.
All right. Well, thank you for your multifaceted comment and question. That's great.
Thank you. You have a beautiful voice, I have to say. It's amazing. Yes, you're right. I think it all goes together. You know, when you meet someone, you look into their eyes. If they care about animals, you kind of know they're okay, really. You know that they care about human beings, too. And the converse is true, as I know the American police are very aware of. If you get people who abuse animals, they're very likely to be abusing children and other people as well. So, yes, it's a mindset. And somehow we have to get this across to people that it's... that it isn't kind of weak to be compassionate. It actually takes a lot of strength to be compassionate and to understand and be empathetic to all creatures.
Absolutely. And again, those things that she did point out and suggest are, I mean, there's so many connections between people who are concerned about the treatment of animals and the treatment of people,
totally.
You know, just rights generally. And also just to, I don't know about an email address, but I will say, and meant to say anyway, that there's brianmay.com, a great website that includes, among other things, Brian's soapbox, which has great sort of blog posts, not surprising, a lot about animal issues. The most recent, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, was on the killing of this Exmoor emperor,
that's the huge
stag that someone decided to hunt in some sort, almost like a canned hunt situation.
It was the biggest and most magnificent wild animal in England, and somebody went, okay, I want those antlers, and they went and killed him.
Yeah.
So there's been huge outrage in England about that, which actually is a very good thing. I think, you know, this animal is a sense of martyr, because he's made by his death people realize what goes on, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. This goes on the whole time.
Sure.
And I guess other places too, you know.
Yeah, but it's something like that. It's interesting how that sort of captured a great deal more attention. I mean, whereas some things
really
we already
has.
Talked about earlier, where people would say, "Well, I don't know, I think I'm for this kind of hunting or that." I don't think anybody was all that for this guy who tracked down this beautiful, majestic beast. You know,
I know it's a cowardly act, and I think everybody realized it. It's good. It's been a wake up call, and I think it's welcome. You know, so I grieve for this beautiful creature, but in a strange way, I think that he's going to be remembered for a long time as you know, an animal who died for the cause, in a sense.
Yeah, I think he probably is going to end up having galvanized a lot of people who might not have cared that much the day before he was gunned down. So let me also continue to say brianmay.com, which has Brian's soapbox, amongst other kinds of great information, and then save-me.org.uk for information about the campaign that Brian launched again after the Queen song. So Brian, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time, but I guess you know, one other thing, just because you talked about music coming out, I mean, I have two quick things perhaps. One is that back to sort of the core of our conversation, what kind of exchanges, if any, have you had with fellow rockers who seem to be kind of known hunter types? I mean, or is that just not a conversation that seems to, you know, happen or be that productive to have with people who seem to really, you know, be on the opposite side, but also are, you know, noted guitarists, et cetera?
That's interesting. Yeah, I haven't really had those conversations, strange enough. I don't know if it's by accident or design. I mean, certainly I've had the other thing. I mean, Slash has been incredibly supportive.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him. You know, he's fantastic about
animals.
He's pledged all kinds of messages for us over here, which has really been a help, because Slash is somebody that people listen to. I mean, people don't listen to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sort of celebrities who mouth off about things, you know, but people know whether people really care, whether the celebrity, if you like, really cares or not.
Sure.
And Slash obviously comes across as a concerned person, and he's been great. So, no, I haven't had a conversation. I should probably do that at some point.
Yeah, I just think it'd be very interesting to, you know, again, in a very respectful manner, and just to sit down with some of these folks, because, you know, there are some fairly high-profile rock and rollers, I think, amongst them, Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood, and others who, you know, seem to be on the pro...
Yeah.
Pro hunting side of things, and
that's right.
Yeah,
I don't know if Clapton is pro hunting. He's pro shooting, which is a little different from hunting.
Oh, okay.
With dogs.
Well, all right. Then I got to be careful. Then I thought he was. Yeah. So
I don't know if he's pro fox hunting.
Okay.
You know, there's a bit of a divide there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't had the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not, strange enough, with Clapton, I don't know if I want to, because he's a hero of mine.
And, yeah.
You know, there's too much respect there probably to want to get into it.
Right, I gotcha. Well,
you never
gosh,
know. We might do.
Yeah, who knows? There might come an evening
we're
sometime.
We're playing together very soon. We're both playing the Prince's Trust in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, great! Yeah. Well, yeah. So maybe then there'll be some sort of conversation, or maybe not. But
yeah,
well.
You never know.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for making time for our conversation today. We have just about reached the end of our time, but I really appreciate it, and I know our listeners did. And again, brianmay.com for all kinds of great information and updates, as well as Brian's Soapbox, and then save-me.org.uk for more specific information about his efforts on behalf of animals as well. So thanks again, Brian, for joining us on Talking Animals.
Well, I really thank you, Duncan. Thank you for making us global. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, appreciate it, and we'll hopefully we'll talk again, maybe with good news on some of these efforts and stopping the badger call, et cetera. So.
That'd be great. Let's catch up.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye
now.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals, and where the show website is talkinganimals.net. And time to proceed to name that animal tune. Where there'll be a prize, a Talking Animals Festival t-shirt to the first person who calls on 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. Perhaps not an animal tune in by our normal standards, but was sort of grandfathered in. It's named that animal tune on Talking Animals.
It started off so well. Said we made a perfect pair. I clothed myself in your glory. And your love, how I loved you, how I cried. Years of care and loyalty.
Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals, one of two shows in November marking our fifth anniversary of Talking Animals right here on WMNF. We did our first show here on November 9th, 2005, with guest Nellie Mackay, having launched Talking Animals in California 2.5 years earlier. Currently, the program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return next Wednesday, November 10th, when our guest will be Nellie Mackay. It's deja vu all over again in the best way possible. I hope you'll join me then. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna, who just had a beautiful baby girl. Congratulations, Libby. Bye. Thanks to her, I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. Nod to a key issue at the moment for Brian May. This is The Dead Milkman with Badger Song on WMNF Tampa.
Out in the woods, up to the pit, I wanna make friends with the badger. The wood looks like me cause I've got ADD. I wanna make friends with the badger, I need it. I wanna make friends with the badger, for real. Wanna make friends with the wanna make friends with the wanna make friends with the badger. He broke with owls, drink slurpee with cows. I wanna make friends with the badger. I stand on my head till I'm legally dead. Wanna make friends with the badger from the heart. Wanna make friends with the badger. Go ahead. Wanna make friends with the wanna make friends with the wanna make friends with the badger. The badger's your friend. The friends with the badger. The badger's your friend. Be friends with the badger. The badger's your friend. Be friends with the badger. The badger's your friend. Be friends with the badger. The badger's your friend. I wanna be friends with the badger. Climbing the trees.